Okay, so welcome back to the Open Sorcery Podcast. I'm excited to chat to my guest today. I'm speaking to somebody all the way from the other side of the globe. So Inez, welcome. How are you doing today?
Hi. Well, I kind of had an accident yesterday. So my week's going a bit different than I would have expected yesterday morning, but otherwise I'm doing all right.
That's good to hear. So I'd like to give you the opportunity to introduce yourself to my listeners. So just give me a very brief info, who you are, what you do, and where are you from in the world?
All right. Well, my name is Ines. I'm from the Netherlands, and I have been working in the WordPress environment for about 12 years. I started out as a web developer doing websites for customers and then kind of migrated into customer service because I figured I'm very good at translating between the technical world and the not so technical. After 6 years working at Automattic, I've now started my own consultancy very, very recently.
Awesome. Yep. Awesome. Well, we'll definitely get that into a second. The next question I always like to ask my guests is, I'm very much a coffee person. In fact, I've got a coffee brewing over there that I'm probably going to pour just now. So what is your chosen drink to get you started and get you going in the day?
Oh, definitely also coffee. Coffee with a lot of sugar.
Okay. Yeah, do you consider yourself a coffee snob, or is it just any coffee that's available?
Any coffee. I'm not picky, as long as it's sugar.
Okay, awesome. Awesome. Cool. So you mentioned WordPress, you mentioned Automattic. So I'm going to assume that you have quite a long and interesting open source history. You mentioned that you were building websites for clients. So in that environment, was that working for a company? Was it working for yourself? Sort of what was that experience like?
So no, I started out as a freelancer. I became a mother when I was 22, at like the height of the financial crisis. And, the crisis in 2012, we've had multiple by now. but I hadn't gone to university, or I didn't finish. So as a single mother of 22 without a degree, nobody was going to hire me. And, I figured, you know what, I'm just going to do things by myself. Took about 3 months to teach myself PHP, and then kind of stumbled on WordPress as a great platform, both for myself as a developer because it had so many pre-built things already, and for my customers to understand how to work with something. And it meant I didn't have to maintain the source itself as much. And then I fell in love with the community and the open source nature of the platform, and I've never left.
Awesome. Do you remember? You probably do remember roughly what year this? You said 2012 or thereabouts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Perfect. Cool. And so, do you remember what your first sort of contribution was to the open source community? Was it something to do with code? Was it support? Was it community related? Do you remember what that experience was like?
Oh yeah, that was definitely support. Yeah, when I migrated from development work into support work, I started helping out in the org forums, and that kind of migrated myself into the actual support team. So I was a moderator for a bit, and that led to me being invited to the community summit in Philadelphia. Okay. And that really kickstarted my career as such. Yeah.
Okay, awesome. I'm going to kind of swerve off topic a little bit, if you don't mind, because I want to chat to you about your accent. I've interviewed a couple of Dutch friends of mine, and you don't have a typical Dutch accent. So if you don't mind me asking, your English is very, very good, but it sounds very, very British. does that come from like an experience in your life? And if you don't feel like answering this, we can cut it.
I've been dating someone from the UK for about a year and a half, and my accent really depends on who I've been talking to.
Okay.
So I'm kind of a chameleon in that aspect. So if I talk to you for a longer time, I will start sounding South African.
Okay.
And talking to someone from the US, I'll start sounding American like instantly.
Okay.
And I can't help it. It's something that I cannot switch on or off.
Wow.
And now that I'm really focused on it, I'm really aware.
Well, I'll mention this now. If you want to cut this afterwards, we can do. But I just thought it was really interesting because I in preparation for these podcasts, I always go and research my guests and get to know them a bit better. Sometimes it's easy because, like with yourself, I've communicated with you online. You know, we've had some interactions. Sometimes it's a bit more difficult. It's somebody I've never interacted with. And the first thing that I do is I go and look for folks on either WordPress TV or anywhere where they've spoken. And I was like, wow, where does Ines come from? She doesn't sound like she comes from the Netherlands. So now I understand. So that's really interesting. No, but that's really interesting. I find that super interesting.
Well, the thing is, languages have always been kind of my thing. I speak 6 or 7 different languages. So it doesn't cost me anything, not any effort to switch between. But that also, yeah, kind of influences what I sound like.
Absolutely. I think it's super interesting.
I think it also kind of explains how I got into customer support and kind of the role that I'm in now is languages and how we communicate with each other is something that is kind of inborn with me. I didn't have to go to school for it. I didn't have to... I mean, obviously, I've learned up on it by now, but it's not something that I've had to teach myself how to do. The main thing I've had to do is how to teach others to do the same thing. But yeah, I definitely think those two are connected.
Awesome. So I'm kind of going to go. I've got my questions that I have here, but you know, given that I know your story and where I want to get in the next 10 minutes or so, I'd like to spend a little bit of time chatting about your time at Automattic. So before we get there though, I'd like to ask you about that switch when you went from being a developer to working in support. So the first question I have there is, was that something that you sought out, or was it something that was a requirement for where you were at that point in time?
To answer that, I kind of need to look back at my development work, because I focused on small female business owners, individuals, or you know, having a small business. And one of the things that I got as feedback from each and every one of them was pretty much every time was that they felt for the first time that someone would sit down with them and explain things in a way that did not make them feel like they were incompetent.
Right.
Or that they didn't know what they were talking about. They felt respected. They felt heard. They felt like they could ask me questions. And that made me think, okay, if I can do that with these individuals, maybe I can do that on a bigger scale.
Okay.
And then I came across someone from the WordPress environment looking for a support person on a freelance basis. And I went, do you know what? I've got the technical know-how. Right. I know how to talk to people. Let me just try this. And that went really well.
You're almost in a sense a bit of a unicorn there, because as a developer myself, I enjoy support, but I know most developers want to stay as far away from people as they possibly can. It's one of the reasons that most developers get into programming and get into building software, because they want to deal with ones and zeros. They don't want to deal with humans and emotion and questions and all of that.
Yeah.
So do you think, and you mentioned this earlier, but do you think it was just your inherent nature as a human being that brought you to that point? Do you think it was the love of languages? Do you think there was something else that, because you mentioned you were a developer, you taught yourself PHP, so you definitely had those technical skills. And the reason I'm asking this question is a little bit biased, because in myself, I'm now not a developer anymore, I'm a writer. But I was always a writer. I was never amazing at it, but I was always writing things, and I was blogging and writing stories and writing jokes and whatever. Yep. And development, similarly to yourself, development was just a way to earn income, but I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed the problem solving or whatever. But it was never really what I thought I would see myself doing for the rest of time. So do you think you've always had this ability, natural ability to, as you say, break it down and not speak down to people, but help them figure out what they're doing?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, my first job was in retail. So my first ever work experience was helping people out. And then I went into working behind the bar as, you know, kind of pouring drinks and listening to people talk.
The oldest version of therapy.
Yeah. So I think all of the work experience I've got up until this point has always been in the same kind of, maybe in different fields, but always along the same lines. And I've always been very good at it. And when I went into the web development industry, I noticed that this is an area that, in particular, where you have so many individual developers, you know, they're really good at creating something by themselves and earning good money with that, and then get super overwhelmed with the other aspects of that business. And it was kind of a niche that I noticed and kind of naturally stepped into as, hey, do you know what? I can't actually close that bridge for a lot of people. That's going really well.
Awesome. Yep. So let's talk about that transition. So let's talk about how you went from, you know, doing that first thing, doing support. You know, for those listening to this podcast, if you haven't heard of Automattic, what rock have you been living under? But it is, you know, one of the biggest companies to do with WordPress at the moment. So let's talk about that journey. How did that happen? How did you end up there? Did you go straight into support on .org, .com, WooCommerce? How did that all come about?
So I was a freelance customer support agent before I joined Automattic. And I knew of Automattic, obviously, and then at some point, I can't quite remember how I landed on their Work With Us page for the first time, but I ended up visiting that page so often that the little box of, we noticed that you've been here quite often, why don't you apply, started popping up.
That's a very clever box.
I think it's the most brilliant thing anyone has ever done in hiring. That really got me thinking. And then I went to the community summit in Philadelphia, and obviously there were a number of automaticians present. And at some point someone said, why haven't you applied yet? And I went, what do you mean? I mean, I'm not good enough. And I kind of got grabbed by the scruff and put in front of a computer and said, you go and apply now, because yeah, you should come and work with us. And then I sent in my application, completely failed to attach my resume, and then thought that there goes my chance, I'm never gonna get hired now. But you know, I did a follow-up email with, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to attach my resume, but you know, And they got back to me and said, no, actually, we would really like to talk to you. Did my trial, which was about 6 weeks of absolute terror, of potentially, you know, not landing the job. And then I got hired straight into WooCommerce, and I stayed with WooCommerce for 6 years.
Okay. And what year was that you joined Automattic?
That's a very good question. 6 years ago.
Okay. So it was after the acquisition. Of course. Yes, yeah. Of course, because you joined the Automattic. Right. Duh. okay, cool. Sorry. I'm just trying to...
I was one of the first hires after the acquisition.
Okay. The reason I asked that is because, being a Capetonian, I have quite a few friends who obviously, you know, worked at Woo. So I'm friends with folks like Hugh and Yob and Matty and those people. So it's always interesting to know kind of where all that fits in. So what was that like? Going from, you know, being a freelancer to now working for a company, but which is well known for sort of pioneering distributed work. Was there a major switch? Was it more difficult, less difficult? What was that like?
No, I mean, It wasn't different in the sense that the way automatic worked back then was very similar to being a freelancer. Mm-hmm. So we could set our own hours and kind of determine when we started working. We didn't have a set schedule as such, so that's changed over the past couple of years, but that was definitely the case back when I was hired. The only big difference I would say was my expectation of the work. So I thought, because I'd been working with WooCommerce for a while with my customers, and that, you know, I explained to my customers how WooCommerce works, and then I got put into the payments team, and I just went, "What is this? I know nothing. I know nothing at all." Right. So yeah, that was a bit of an adjustment. But in terms of how I worked and the kind of expectation of quality wasn't very different from what I was already doing.
Okay, awesome. So then let's move ahead 6 years. You know, let's move ahead mm-hmm. to the reason why we're here today, and that's to talk about your new venture. Before we get mm-hmm. into that, though, I do have what might be a difficult question. It might not. What was the reason for deciding to leave?
So I mentioned just now that when I started working at Automatic, we had a lot more freedom. Mm-hmm. Freedom might not be the right word to use. We had a lot more flexibility. That's okay. Maybe better. So we had a lot more flexibility back when I was hired. And as Automatic has grown, more people have joined the team, and there was a higher need of, you know, scheduling and having a very fixed, you need to work within this time frame, and you can set that time frame yourself, but then after it's been set, it becomes not so flexible.
Okay.
And I had burnout last year, and I kind of came to a point where I was like, you know what, I'd like to go back to that feeling of, if I've not slept well, if I've had, because I have three kids, sometimes they wake up during the night, or, you know, they get sick or whatever.
Whatever, yeah. Or they need a drink of water at 2:30 in the morning.
Whatever it is, I would like to be able to tell myself, you know what, I'm going to take a quiet morning. I'm going to take the kids to school and then do some dental exercise, take a shower, and then start my work day, rather than, oh my God, I need to fit everything into this time frame that I didn't know was going to happen 2 weeks ago. And I don't want to speak ill of Automatic at all, because I understand the need for those processes to change. They just no longer fit how I wanted to work. So I decided to go back to freelancing.
Cool.
Yeah.
I've got one last question there for you, if you don't mind. And this is specific to that sort of scheduling and time frame. And if you don't know the answer, that's cool, but I'm just curious to know, do you think that's because you were in the WooCommerce team? And specifically, that's more of a sort of focusing on enterprise and business and all of that. Do you think that if you were still, or maybe doing support in the .org team, it might have been more flexible? Or okay.
No, there's no difference in that.
Okay.
If anything, the .com team gets the big changes first.
Okay.
And then WooCommerce follows after.
Okay.
So no, I don't know.
Fair enough. It's just interesting to me because everybody that I've spoken to that has recently left, so folks like Tammy, folks like Mel, they've all said the same thing. Love the company. You know, don't want to speak ill of the company, but the changes that have come in due to the size of the company, the structure that is now coming in, just wasn't fitting in for them. And so I almost want to use this as a way to say to folks, you know, when you think about Automatic now, I mean, I've been following Automatic since the acquisition, because that's roughly when I got involved in WordPress. You know, 2015, when that happened, they were maybe 200 people. Now they're 10 yep. times that. You know, there's almost no yep. way that they can carry on as if they were a 200-person company.
No, absolutely. And that's why I said I understand the need for those things to change.
Hmm. It's just not for you.
But, well, you do have to remember that we got, well, I say we, there's a number of us. We got hired at a time where there was, it was like working as a freelancer.
Hmm.
And that if you get hired with the expectations of the workload today,
hmm.
if I got hired today and I knew that the, mm. the, how shall I put that? That how that job is constructed now,
mm.
I wouldn't mind because mm. I know what I'm going into, but mm. I got hired with promises of, you know, that flexibility and that.
Set your own schedule.
set your own schedule. And now it's, you need to have a very rigorous, inflexible schedule. Mm. You have to work weekends. Mm. You have to do a number of things that really weren't present when we got hired.
Mm.
And that just doesn't work for me anymore.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely. Yeah. No, absolutely. And that's the great thing about the WordPress space, if you will, and maybe open source in general, is when those things don't work out, then you can go back to, as you're doing now, you know, what you wanted to do. So let's talk about that.
Yeah.
I'm super excited about this. I'll give you a little bit of backstory about myself. When I got into the WordPress space, I started with the idea of I was going to build websites for people. I'm a PHP developer. I should never mm-hmm. have tried to build websites for people because I have a terrible eye for design. But I can solve problems and I can write code. And
right.
purely by accident, because I was doing sort of, I wouldn't say support, but it was this thing called Divi Fixer. So it was this company called Elegant Marketplace that built plugins and themes for the Divi right. theme, and Andrew was one of the guys behind it, and he came up with this idea called Divi Fixer, where if you had a technical problem that you just couldn't figure out, you could hire one of us for a fixed rate and we would solve it and fix it and whatever else. And in the course of that, my first plugin ideas came about, and so I actually built my first plugins and I started selling them and started building up a bit of a business. And then I hit that exact point that you mentioned earlier, that point where I'm now trying to improve my plugins, but I'm also trying to provide my customer support, and I'm failing miserably at both.
Oh yeah.
And if quality and support had existed back then, you would have gotten a mail from me going, help. So give me the pitch. Give me the quick, you know, what is it that you're doing, how you're doing it and all of that. Tell me all about it. I'm super excited.
So it's twofold, really. My consultancy is about 3 weeks old at this point, so it's very, very young.
Early days.
I started out going, do you know what? I've been focusing on quality of interactions for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
I've been the go-to person for how do we determine what quality looks like?
Mm.
You know, how do you determine whether or not an interaction with a customer is okay,
mm-hmm.
or if it's really good,
mm.
and how do we replicate the really good onto other interactions? Mm. And I'm able to do that. I'm able to analyze that. I'm able to you know, provide training and advice and all that based on that analysis. So I wanted to go into doing that as a consultancy.
Mm.
But then I figured there are still a lot of developers who need mm. that help, who have that, you know, you will know this. You come to a point where you're like, I have a number of customers who are sending in tickets. I can still maintain that, but I'm noticing there's a drain on my time mm. to actually develop. Mm. So do you know what? I'm just going to scale down what I'm going to do in support a little bit. I'm going to set expectations on that, and then et cetera, et cetera. But that doesn't really help. Mm. And then you get more and more customers and your time to develop just evaporates kind of mm. into thin air. And I was like, you know what? I kind of need projects because mm. I'm starting out. Let me just put the call out on Twitter and say, if you need any kind of help in that area, hit me up because I can help out. And I've got 12 years of experience, so you know, I can ramp up really, really quickly. And then my inbox exploded.
Nice.
I got so many inquiries in the space of 2 days that I went, I need more people. I need to actually hire or work with other freelance customer support people. Okay. In order to fulfill those needs. So I'm not just a consultancy anymore. I'm actually a WordPress customer support agency now.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. I didn't expect it and I didn't really plan for it, but yeah, here we are.
Well, I think it goes to show that, I mean, we've seen this, you know, time and time again, there's so much going on in the WordPress business space right now. There's so many companies that are getting to that point. There's so many freelancers that are getting to that point. There are so many folks. Mm-hmm. I mean, the company that I work for, we recently acquired quite a popular plugin. And one of the reasons that the developer was putting it up to be acquired was that he didn't want to build a team. He wanted to remain a mm-hmm. solo developer. And he realized that yep. the plugin had reached a point where if he didn't give it over to a team to manage, it would die a slow death. Now, if something like this existed, mm-hmm. maybe he would have been able to do, you know, contact you and get you involved, and maybe he would have been able to carry on. So my next question to you then are you focusing, and this maybe gets back to what you mentioned earlier about when you were a freelancer, you focused on that niche of building mm-hmm. websites for businesswomen. Are you focusing on a specific niche now, or are you kind of keeping it open and seeing where the niche is?
So the actual support, so going in, looking at the support tickets, and then building a workflow around it, that's very WordPress focused. I'm okay. not going to go for a very specific niche within WordPress.
Okay.
Basically just whoever comes along, we can help out. My consultancy is broader than that. It's helpful for a lot of different businesses that have a support team and not just within the WordPress environment, because you don't have a lot of businesses that have a very big support team within the WordPress ecosystem. I think the market would be a bit too small if I would focus only on WordPress with the consultancy. So okay. the agency, WordPress specific, the consultancy, as broad as I can cast my net, pretty much.
Okay. So when you say the agency, let's talk about those two entities at the moment for a second. So when you say the agency, you're talking about you are a company that businesses can hire, and yep. you will then have support technicians that will manage their support. So,
yes.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
So tell me what is that like? How does that work? So let's say I'm a developer. Let's say I've built a plugin. And mm-hmm. it's gaining traction. I built it on the side, nights and weekends. I've managed to get to a point where I'm now able to leave my day job and focus on this because it's earning enough money. But now, as yep. you say, that support ticket ratio is getting higher. The development's affecting. Mm-hmm. I reach out to you. What does that experience look and feel like?
Well, I mean, we're going to have a conversation first of all about what your process looks like at the moment, because it's not just, I'm not just offering, let me just reply to your support tickets. The goal is to get your company to a point where if that is what you're looking to do eventually, is to get you to a point where you can hire someone for your company and already have the support workflow in place. So right. we'll have the internal documentation, we'll have the platform that your support runs on, fixed to a T. You know, there's pre-defs and macros and analysis data, but whatever it is. So we're first going to have a conversation about what are your goals for the future? What do you want to achieve? Well, obviously it's, I want to hit inbox zero, that, but there's more to it than just answer my tickets, please. And I think that's where a lot of people get really overwhelmed, is They know that they have a need to hire someone, but they have no idea how to facilitate that. So I don't expect companies to stick with me forever.
Okay.
I mean, they can, they absolutely can if that makes them feel comfortable, but the end goal really is to set them up for growth.
So in your mind, success is a successful relationship is when the customer comes to you and says, I'm good now. I don't need you anymore. Yep. Everything's set up. Everything's in place.
Yes.
And thank you very much. Okay.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. If they come to me and say, do you know what? I've found someone who is a really good fit for my company. And with the support workflows that you've set up, they can just go to work and I don't have to think about this. Yeah, that's definitely what success looks like.
Awesome. You'll pardon the poor analogy here, but you're almost, the way I'm seeing this is now, is you're almost like a support therapist. Like a therapist's goal is for their client to eventually go, I don't need you anymore. I'm good. I've dealt with whatever mental anguish or anxiety or whatever I've been dealing with, and I don't need you. And you're almost going to be fulfilling that role, but in a, you're welcome to have it. I really don't mind. But that's an interesting way of thinking at it and looking at it. But cool. So here again. Okay, so now I'm not trying to throw you some curveballs, but I'm thinking like a developer. I'm thinking like myself. I want to hire you, but I'm struggling with that whole, well, I'm earning enough money from this plugin development to pay my bills. I need to do something about the support, but that means I'm going to have to spend more money. But I don't know how to kind of get over that point. So how do I figure out that problem?
So one of the things that is rampant within the WordPress industry as a whole, I think, is that line of thinking is I don't want to spend money on a theme. I don't want to spend money on getting a software that's going to help me fix this problem. But if you look at it from a business perspective, spending money to save up time so you can make or earn more money is going to do you more good than trying to muddle your way through and failing in both directions. So yes, it's going to cost you money. I get that maybe hurts a little bit. But if it resolves your problem, if it resolves you not having any time to actually put updates out there, and if it grows your customer base, because good customer support is also sales, right? It's not just answering tickets. It's actually maintaining your user base and making sure that you have people singing your praises to the rest of the community. It's going to bring you more income. Good customer support is not just a cost-based service. It will actually generate revenue. So I don't see that as a problem. I see that as a mindset thing that we can talk about.
Absolutely. I think you've just given me a title for this podcast. Good customer support also means sales. I think that's so important. And I think, in my opinion at least, knowing you, knowing your journey, having followed you on Twitter for as long as I have now, that to me is what you bring to this versus other customer support agencies who don't do that analysis, who don't do that. What you mentioned earlier, what defines a quality support interaction? How do we know that this was a good interaction for the customer and turns them into a brand ambassador and makes them shout out your name to other people versus just a support interaction? I've dealt with many interactions where I can tell this is just a support interaction. This person is not trying to, and I don't want to say blow me over because it shouldn't be about blowing me over, but they're not trying to turn it into a quality interaction. It's just a response with a link to a doc that I've probably already read, and all of those kind of things. And I think that's what you bring to the situation is that analysis, that understanding, that. And what I like about it as well is, as you mentioned earlier, that sort of the understanding of the languages and the translating of things into different ways of saying things and doing things. I think that's so super important.
I think it comes down to understanding that your user base consists of humans, right? So one of my mantras that I'm trying to get everyone who touches support to get on, is you address emotion first and the problem second.
Okay.
Because if you address emotion first, you say, do you know what? I recognize you as being human and I want to take care of you first. Mm. And then the bit that makes me money. So if I'm going to address how you are feeling and how you are experiencing my business first, and then go into problem solving, it doesn't take a lot for me to build that relationship with you. It, as long as I make you feel human first and then address your problem, I'm going to have a customer that, regardless of how that conversation goes, if I have to tell you, no, you can't have a refund, or no, the plugin or the theme or whatever service I'm selling doesn't do that, or we're not including that feature, it doesn't matter, because I've already established that I care about you as a person. I've already established that what you're saying to me matters more than what I'm selling.
Right, right.
And that is an understanding that the majority of support teams are lacking.
Do you think that the reason that happens is the sort of focused on number of closed tickets? Do you think that creates that environment, or do you think it's a general just misunderstanding of how support should work?
Yeah, I do think it's down to how many tickets can you close, but I think the underlying issue beneath that is businesses as a whole not understanding what customer support is to their business.
Right.
So we come back to customer support being very important to your sales process, rather than just something that makes you bleed money.
Right.
So a lot of businesses approach customer support as, we need to have an entity that can interact with our user base, but doesn't recognize that it's a way to build a bridge between customers and the company. So it's the viewpoint is only outwards and not inwards.
Right. Right. That, I think that is probably the most important thing. I should have asked you this question earlier. But yeah, that's something that I've definitely seen and experienced. You know, when I remember when I was working at Castos in the early days, myself and Craig were doing support. And then we added a developer, and that developer was helping support. And then we added other people, and we added customer support folks. And you could definitely tell. So the way things worked was, when we had customer support folks, the customer support folks would sort of deal with first line support. And then when it got to the point where this was a bit more of a technical problem and it needs to come to a developer, then it would get passed on to one of the devs. And you could definitely see when the person was just being dealt like another ticket versus when they were being dealt as a human being, and they were actually being sort of, as you say, treated as a reason for sales, not as just another number.
Yeah, and I think what a lot of companies fail to see as well is that these are trainable skills. You can train people very accurately to emphasize the human part, whereas a lot of companies look at, you know, do you have technical troubleshooting skills? Do you understand the software that you're working with? Do you can you follow internal processes, etc.? And they kind of fail to grasp the bit of quality that you need. So the bit of, you know, how do you actually communicate, and how can you restructure your approach sound more human in the way that you talk to people. It's absolutely trainable. It's just that not a lot of people recognize it or even look at that as a data point to analyze.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, but I think that there's a lot that developers themselves can learn from this experience and this process. When I first started freelancing through the Codable platform, Codable was very good at trying to teach us to interact with customers better and have meaningful experiences and that kind of thing. And you could always tell if you joined a public workroom, you could always tell when a developer had interacted with a customer in such a way that they felt like another human being versus just another project, because you could see the customer sort of direct, because in the codable workroom, you have no way of atting somebody, but you could see them directly name the person that gave them a good interaction and almost ignore mm-hmm. those that were just throwing them with, you know, things that didn't necessarily tie into the thing that you could see they didn't understand. Yeah. They weren't interacting with them in a good way. So that's super interesting. So for the last 10 minutes, I normally switch over to what I call the hacking short form questions. You are probably still a developer in some way, but you aren't a full-time developer anymore. So I kind of mm-hmm. don't want to go down that path with you. What I would like to do is I'd like to ask you, if you don't mind, what does the day in your life look like? Like, what does a work day look like to you right now as you're trying to build up this business?
My day consists of a lot of meetings at the minute. Okay. I had that influx of inquiries at mm-hmm. the beginning, and I'm kind of working through talking to people and kind of ramping up on new projects coming in and writing a lot for my own blog.
Okay.
I'm also writing a book, actually, which might be very interesting. It will be customer support for WordPress developers. So it will be an entire book just dedicated to how do you do WordPress.org support? Why should you be doing support? Communication best practices, tools that you can use, et cetera, et cetera. So, I'm hoping that that's going to be a resource for pretty much any developer looking to still do that support themselves to really get a grasp on what should it look like. And so I'm working on that.
Cool.
starting to do some actual project work. So some actual diving into support queues and kind of trying to manage the freelancers that I'm working with. So
cool. Interesting. So that actually leads nicely onto one of my short form questions. But what are you using to kind of manage all of this? It sounds like you've got lots of different things going on. Are there any mm-hmm. kind of productivity tools that you'd like to use to manage all of this? Or do you have your own system that you figured out?
I mean, it's going to be no surprise to anyone when I say Slack. Slack is where the majority of my stuff happens. Email, obviously. And my favorite two software tools are Todoist and Toggle.
Okay.
So Todoist for just because I'm ADHD as all hell. I need I need a to-do list that I can check off and categorize and everything. And then Toggle to track time. I believe Toggle is, I'm not sure if it's open source, but it's free to use, if I'm not mistaken.
There is a free, I've been using Toggle since as long as I've been tracking time as a freelancer. It's an amazing piece of software. It's an amazing piece of software. I'm similar. I start my day, now that I'm not developing full-time anymore, I have multiple different projects that I'm working across. So I end every day by making sure my list for tomorrow is ready and rock and roll. And then I come in first thing in the morning and go through my inbox, because working with a remote team, I've got loads of folks based in the US. So first thing my morning, I go through my inbox and add more things to that list and then sort it out for the day. And then off I go. I'm exactly the same. I have to have a list. And then fortunately, I've used Toggle for as long as I can remember. The company that I work for also uses Toggle. So that was great.
That's cool.
I hate it when I have to work for a company, and this has happened, where I'm working for a company and they use a different piece of software to track time. I'm so bad that I still track it in Toggle and they just copy that over onto whatever they're using.
Cool. It does have a CSV export feature, doesn't it?
It probably does. I probably should have done that. I was probably just too lazy to go and look. Cool. So you're doing so many things now, right? At the moment, are you currently learning anything new? Is there anything that you're adding to your repertoire of skills?
Yeah, I dabble with Laravel.
Okay.
Because I wanted to build something for myself, and it's a nice way to kind of keep up with new stuff and PHP, and you know, it still requires a bit of practice. So.
Cool. So yeah, have you got a specific project in mind, or are you just building something random?
Yeah, I'm not going to share my project before it's actually ready to show.
Cool, that's fine.
But yeah, I'm working on, something.
Okay, yeah. Awesome. Well, so this is the question I always ask folks at the end of every interview. If you could go back, and this one may or may not be controversial for you, I don't know. But if you could go back to an 18-year-old version of yourself, what one piece of knowledge or advice would you give to yourself regarding your career and why?
I would say stop comparing yourself to people who have the ticket on the wall, the university degree, because as long as you just work hard, there's really nothing that you can't do if you don't have that degree. Within the WordPress world, if I took 3 months to learn PHP and then was able to step out of government assistance and earn my own paycheck. So, it really doesn't take very long for you to be able to actually start making some good money. And you don't need to go to school. I struggle with the concept of, yeah, but I'm not good enough because I've not gone to school and I've not learned all of these things and I've not. But in the end, the things that I already had and the things that I was able to learn with just an internet connection and a computer were more than enough. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's so true. I know folks. And we'll use Automattic as an example. And, I have friends that work in Automattic. I know folks who work at Automattic and who have, IT degrees and BSc degrees. And I know folks who work at Automattic in the same type of area who taught themselves from the word go. And, the degree does help. It helps in the early days and it helps you understand certain concepts. But lately you can pick those up. There are books, there's that green CS degree book that every time I read it, I get to the section on big notation and my brain implodes. but there's enough out there for you to get those concepts. You can do the Harvard CS50 online. There's all this stuff going on. That's a big one. That's super huge. Awesome. Inez, it's been wonderful chatting to you. I could do this all over again. I might bug you 6 months to a year from now and we'll do like a follow-up and see how it's going and all of that kind of thing. Maybe when the world's not imploding. it was great chatting to you. If folks want to find you online, what is the best way to get hold of you and find you?
Twitter will be the best place. My personal Instagram is Mother of Code, and then there's Quality in CS, which is the consultancy page where I ramble about customer support a little bit more.
Cool. And you're happy for people to DM you if they want to get contact.
Always. Awesome. Yep.
Awesome. Definitely. Cool. Well, yes, it's been lovely chatting to you. It's been amazing getting to know you. I hope sometime in the future we'll be able to meet up in person and have a nice cup of coffee or whatever. I don't know yet if we'll be going to Porto this year. Things are kind of up in the air. It'll be great to meet you. Are you ready? Okay.
WordCamp Netherlands is going to be held in a zoo. If you want to go to a very cool WordCamp where I will definitely be attending, then would be the one.
Cool. Sounds good. Right. Otherwise, have a great day and I'll chat to you soon.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
No problem.